Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so we might see and know when your true hour has come. In your name we pray. Amen. I've seen a picture, and I want you to kind of imagine this, but it's a row of shelves in a grocery store, or obviously a liquor store, but a row of shelves of bottles of wine. And on top of the shelf is one of those signs, you know, that kind of stick out for the aisle, and it has a name on it, kind of helps you know what's in that aisle. And the sign above the bottles of wine says, water. Someone had written below it, Jesus has been here again. Well, that's the story that we talk about this morning, the story about Jesus at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee and turning the water into wine. But what we may not know or understand is a little bit of background, and that's the fact that Jesus performing that sign actually prevents a great embarrassment for the bride and groom. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But there's one verse that I really want to focus in on, and that's verse 4, the last part, where Jesus says to his mother, "My hour has not yet come." See, God has a plan. And Jesus, his son, is following that plan. And it's been laid out really from the very start of creation. And Jesus is the center of that plan, the heart and the soul of the plan. As you read through the Old Testament, the prophecies always point to Jesus. And the sign that he was about to perform is to make him known, make his name known. As it says, all his disciples believed in him. And really, this sign in John is the first act by Jesus that will start his journey, his march, if you will, to the cross. Now, it would be interesting to us, or confusing, about why God chose such a small town, really insignificant town of Cana, as the place where Jesus forms that first sign. You see, if we would look at things, if we would plan out things, wouldn't we say that the best place to perform this sign would be do it in the largest city, in Jerusalem? Take an act in which thousands would know about it, and more than that in the next morning. Why not do that sign at the temple? That makes sense. I mean, Jesus is going to take the religious leaders of his day on. He's going to challenge them. He's going to say that their leadership, the way of their teaching, and the way they reveal the true nature of God in the universe is wrong. It's misguided. So why wouldn't he go to the very heart of where it all is? Why not go there to make his case? Well, that would be our plan, but it's not part of God's plan. And once again, we see something that God is doing. And more importantly, we know that by what Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come." God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you and me. And it's a plan that has begun from the very beginning of creation. It's a plan in which you will journey in life, where you will travel. Who are the people you would encounter in that journey? Who are the people that you will have significant relationships with? It's a plan that includes all the trials, all the problems, the losses, the hurts, and the pain that you will go through. But it's also a plan that involves the joy and the celebration, the uplifting moments in life in which we will learn from. It's a plan with those things that make us weaker and those things that make us stronger. It's God's plan for you and me. Jesus' mother, Mary, didn't fully understand God's plan for his son. And if she did, she wouldn't ask him to perform this sign. But she couldn't wait. She realized that as they were about to run out of wine, this would be a terrible disgrace to the family. See, wedding banquets in those days lasted a week. And they were invited and open to the entire community. Well, if any of you are planning a wedding or recently planned a wedding or know about planning a wedding, you know obviously the stress that you go through. But imagine the stress of doing a wedding feast or celebration for an entire week and inviting all of Circleville, all of Pickaway County. Ouch! But add to this a pressure. The reality of the day, that if the bride and groom failed to provide for their guests for that week, this would be a shock in the community. You know it as well as I do, small communities have long memories, and there would be embarrassment. And that was Mary's motivation behind asking her boy to act, to prevent this embarrassment for the couple. There was a problem. And she wanted her son to fix it, and she wanted him to fix it now. Well, how close are you and I to Mary? Like her, we turn to God when we have a problem, when there's something in our life that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be resolved or remedied. And we turn to God when there is something broken. We're broken by fears, by hatred, by our selfishness and inability to love. We turn to God when we look at the news and we hear all the problems in our crazy world. You know, there's violence everywhere on television, and it makes us wonder, you know, we as a species have always been violent by nature. You look back from history to the early tribes and clans and all the way forward, and there's always a war, always a battle. It has never stopped. But the difference today, well, it's actually twofold. One, every violent act, every war, every act is put on television for 24/7. We have the pictures, we have the videos, and we have the commentary. And second, the difference is that the level of destruction that we see in the world because of the weapons that are available is much higher. We're afraid. We're afraid of what's happening in our own country. We're afraid of what's happening in our cities, even in our own communities, and we are frightened, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to be safe. When we have those problems, we turn to God, and we want that immediate response. We want the answer. We want the resolution of the conflict. And you know what? When we pray, God answers us. God answers us all the time. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes his answer is no, but mostly his answer is wait. My hour has not yet come. When all is said and done, Jesus does what mommy directs. The water jugs are filled with wine, water, and they are turned into wine. But notice, it's not just your average wine. It's not the cheapest. It's not what would be common for the practice. But Jesus delivers to them the best. He gives them the most exquisite of wines. He comes with what is far more than is expected. He comes with what is far more than the people of that wedding feast deserve. So why shouldn't God do the same thing for us? When we pray, when He answers that prayer, when we come through God's plan, why shouldn't we expect the best for us? And that plan, as I said, began from the very beginning. Began by the powerful God who spoke a word and the universe was created. Who spoke the words and animals and plants and fish and trees are created. And remember that God says that each day it was good. The same Lord with the same plan for you and I provides for us the best. The best up to eternal life. My hour has not yet come. Well, John records several places in which Jesus announces his hour has come. John 12:23, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." John 13:1, "Now before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father." And then John 17:1, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may be glorifying you." See, John records those words, records the time in which the hour has come for Jesus to be crucified, because that's all part of God's plan. It's the plan from the very beginning. It is the plan for God to make the ultimate answer to our prayers, to make that plan come to fruition. It's the plan in which Jesus dies on the cross for all those times we can't wait, in which we are faced with problems and things that are afraid to us, when we are faced with our own weakness. It's the plan from the beginning that Jesus will die on the cross. But it is also the plan that on the third day He would rise again, that there would be that resurrection. And the very pinnacle of the plan for you and for me is the grace, the love of God given to us through Christ. God has a plan for you and me, a plan in which we are the midst of it. And that plan reaches its height when He provides for us the opportunity to receive the full promise of Jesus' plan. And that's resurrection victory. In His name, Amen.